And our theme wrapping up right there, our Musicians Come and Play with Larry Rezavi, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM 498, the program number for today, as you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 58 degrees. The sun's starting to peek through those clouds once again. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Bob Schrepfer. Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Ty.
Good. And did I pronounce your last name right?
You sure did.
Bob Schrepfer. Okay. Bob, making home where these days?
Well, we live in Apple Valley.
Apple Valley.
I've been home here over 30 years, I believe. You'd have to check with my bride to confirm that.
Okay. And mentioning a bride, you are married and family?
Yes. We have one daughter
uh-huh.
who we're extremely proud of. In fact, she is in Tokyo, Japan right now. She does international marathons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. And there's six major ones, New York, Berlin, London, Tokyo, Boston, Chicago. She did Berlin last year. She completed Tokyo yesterday, and she just has London left for next year, and she will be doing Boston this April.
Wow, wow.
And we have three grandsons.
Okay. Wow, that's great.
The oldest one married and blessing us with being great-grandparents coming up here the 15th of the month.
Well, you always knew you were great, but that just that validates it, right?
You bet.
Very good. Well, Bob, going back to the beginning, born and raised where?
In Sleepy Eye, Minnesota.
Oh, God's country.
West of New Orleans, the polka capital of the nation.
Yes, yes, indeed. And went to school where?
I went to school St. Mary's Catholic School,
uh-huh.
12 years in Sleepy Eye.
Okay.
Band director was Stan Meidel.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it for my education, I guess.
Okay.
Except for Navy School of Music.
Okay. And, yeah, you took up music in band at Sleepy Eye?
Yes, I did. I wanted to play clarinet. I had braces on my teeth. My mother was a piano teacher. She said, well, if you take piano, you'll be ahead of the game. When the braces come off, you can take clarinet. But she says, I'll send you down to the nuns for piano. I won't teach you. But
okay.
She did.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I ran across my rental agreement from Brown and Meidel Music Store. January 9th, 1952, I rented a metal clarinet from them.
Oh, my goodness.
$12 for the first 3 months.
Wow. Okay. So that's where it all began. You started playing the reeds back then in school, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I was a quick learner. In no time at all, I had the first chair in the band, which
mm-hmm.
left much to be desired anyway.
Okay.
But needless to say, got a call from a band in New Ulm. There were, I think, 20 bands working out of New Ulm at the time.
Sure.
I mean, they were great, great times.
Mm-hmm.
And the band, name of the band was Don Frank and the Skinny Dutchman.
Oh, yeah.
And so my mother got my dad's old tenor out, showed me the fingerings on it. I worked all week, and I went on the job, and they started using me.
Uh-huh.
Not all the time, but I was, I guess, a fill-in at that time.
Sure.
And I was about 15 years old,
Uh-huh.
It was exciting, though.
Yeah. Well, it's probably paying money, huh?
Yes, it did. I don't want to admit it, but it was cigarette money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was different times back then. All right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, and did you go on to any college or any service, in the service at all or anything like that?
When I graduated, I went into the Navy.
Okay.
And recruiter in Mankato that we talked to, a friend of mine and myself went down, and he asked, any of you guys play? And my friend said, well, Bob does. And so I said, well, you might be interested. They have a music program. And so I went down to Great Lakes to audition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you passed the audition, after boot camp, you were guaranteed music school, which was in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
The course, they said, was the equivalent of 3 years of college, of being a music major in college.
Okay.
So I passed the audition, and I got to tell you this one, though. The audition consisted of, they threw some music up on the stand and said, play it.
Uh-huh.
For sight reading.
Sure.
And then they gave you a few scales, marked out what scales to play, which mm-hmm. I did, and mm-hmm. said, now play something for us. And I said, well, what do you want to hear? Well, just play something you know. So I played the Beer Barrel Polka.
Okay.
It sold out.
Oh, my goodness.
So
they
liked it, huh?
There were
two other fellows that went with me. They were both from Brainerd. Trumpet player who did not pass the audition. Piano player that did. His name was Phil Madsen.
Okay.
And he went on to be an arranger for the Four Freshmen and the High Lows. I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
No, I haven't.
Groups. Yeah, they're a cappella jazz groups.
Okay, okay.
So I went through music school, and when I got down there, I had to work hard. I mean, it was up to us. A lot of guys just washed out and
yeah.
went out in the fleet to paint. No, but
yeah.
I did graduate, and they said, well, where would you like to go? And I said, well, anywhere on the West Coast. They had, we were a 17-piece show band is what we were.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, the Navy left me on the East Coast. And I got to England and France, and then when I got back into the States, they transferred me down to Florida. And
okay.
I was down there for close to 2 years.
Oh.
And then I got out.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, after you got out, was that when Whoopi John came calling, or how did you ever get with Whoopi?
Yeah. I stayed down in Florida and played. My duty down there was great duty. I was playing with civilian groups.
Mm-hmm.
And One thing that I will share, though, was I kept my union card up,
okay.
musicians' union card up, which was the local out of New Ulm,
okay.
which I carried
mm-hmm.
with me. And I booked, I think it was maybe a 10-piece band in one of the hotels in Jacksonville. And so they were my Navy friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were all Navy musicians, but we didn't go in there as a Navy musician group. And so we got our instruments and everything going in the elevator, and the guy says, you guys check in with the union? And I said, well, we just got into town. Didn't have time. So we'll be checking in with them on Monday before we leave town. So let me see your union card. It was the hatchet man for the union.
Uh-huh.
I pulled out my long Minnesota musicians union card, and it got us
got you through
the night anyway.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic story.
Cool call, because at that time, back then, if you weren't a union musician, you didn't work.
Yeah things were very strict back then. Yes.
Yeah
I can see that. All right.
And so anyway, I got out of service, and I came back to Sleepy Eye to I wanted to play, you know, for a mm-hmm. living. And I filled in with bands out of New Ulm for gas money, et cetera.
Sure.
Did a lot of work with Guy DeLeo, Lumberjack.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And this was midsummer. And then I got offered a couple jobs. Ralph Martiri Band out of Chicago and Tommy Allen out of St. Louis. Hadn't made up my mind which one, and I got a call from Whoopi John Band that they were looking for a tenor man.
Uh-huh.
And they said, just come down. We're going to be in Mankato on Saturday night, and we'd like, if you want to try out for the band, fine, you know, show
sure,
up. So
sure.
I did. And I played the job, and Sunday John called and offered me the job. Well, I really didn't want to go back to playing polkas. I don't know why not, but that's just the way I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But John said, well, we're supposed to be going out to California to cut a movie. And I thought, wow, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be a movie star. Wow.
Yeah.
So he said, just come down on, we leave for Fargo on Tuesday at noon. And so I showed up in St. Paul at his house and left my car there and got on the bus, and off we went to North Dakota for the week.
Uh-huh.
And so we got back into town, and it was, I can't remember where all we went, but it was late fall, so it's cold.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I, you know, I just driven in, got my horn and suitcase out, threw it in the bus, and away we went.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when we left town.
How old would you have been about then?
So Jerry Strack was the second trumpet player.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget this. Jerry said, have you got someplace to go, Bob? And I said, not really. I'll probably sleep in my car and find someplace tomorrow morning. He said, no, no, it's too cold. He said, you come stay, crash at my pad, and we'll find someplace tomorrow for you, which is what we did. Never forgot that.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I talked to Jerry last week.
Okay.
In fact.
And he's doing well yet, too?
Pardon?
Yeah, he's doing well, too, yet?
Yeah, he's had a couple of heart attacks, or had a heart attack. And,
okay.
But he's doing well.
Okay.
Lost his wife and hurting a bit, you know.
You sure?
There's four of us left that were on the band when I joined John's band. It's Ronnie Nadrini.
Yeah.
He's in Omaha. He was playing lead trumpet. Jerry Strack was playing second trumpet. And also show accordion also.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Schultz was the accordion player, and myself.
That oh, yes.
There's just four of us left.
Yeah, you just recently lost Donnie Burkhart. Don, of
yeah,
course, the trumpet
yeah.
player.
Well, when Ron left the band, that's when Don came on.
Oh, okay, yeah. So.
It was about, I think Don and I were together a year
okay.
or so. One thing about Don, it still blows my mind. He had some teeth problems, and they pulled all of his teeth, gave him a plate, and he played the job that night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine that.
You would have never known it. You know?
I was a trumpet player in school, too, and I know the pressure that you put on your lips to, you know, to get those higher notes and so on. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't imagine that, getting teeth and then playing that same night. Wow.
Yeah. Well, he did it.
He did it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Who were some of the other band members? Did you get to play with that Roy Boyle, the little falsetto?
No, Roy. I was playing his chair.
Oh, okay.
Roy left the band. It had to be, you know, late 50s or early Yeah, late 50s it would have had.
Okay.
And I did know Roy. I mean, we
you
had
did.
To be friends.
Okay.
He had a radio repair shop at Snelling University, stereos and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, he was quite a guy, loved to talk.
Uh-huh.
Had a lot of stories to tell.
Well, very good. Well, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. We'll come back to you in just a moment, if that's all right, Bob.
Yeah, you bet.
All righty. So, Cy here with the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. It's always a great time of the year to stop and shop at the St. Joe Meat Market. Yes, we are continuing to make our way through Lent and into early spring. The St. Joe Meat Market continues to carry a large number of meatless items for Lent. There is a nice assortment of fish and many flavors of cheese. Smoked salmon, a regular there. Don't forget the cheese pizza and pancake mix. How about a fried or boiled egg? Now, after you have abstained and fasted on Friday, you can turn your attention to a mouth-watering beef roast or a thick, juicy steak sizzling on the grill. No matter what might be on your menu plan, the St. Joe Meat Market is a great place to stop and shop. The St. Joe Meat Market opens 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturday 6 till 5, and closed on Sunday. As always, for more information, call 320-363-4913. Like us on Facebook or look us up on the web, www.stjoesmeatmarket.com. And that is the St. Joe Meat Market, bringing us our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Bob, for being our guest on the program, and you've been here before, you know how it works. We've got a meat package put up there already for you at the meat market. We'll mail that out to you, priority mail tomorrow, and get it in a day or so, and hope that you and your wife and those around you and enjoy it in good health. How's that work out for you?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Si. This is the third. I had a thought the other day. This is the third time that I've been on here.
Okay.
If we go pound for pound with these meat packages, I got to be close to a quarter beef by now.
you could.
I think you should have an exclusive quarter note, quarter beef club.
There you go.
The final package will be the polka meat package.
There you go. We could think about that one.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Bob, what years were you with Whoopi John?
I went on the band fall of 1960, and John died a year after I was on the band.
Oh, okay.
And then I stayed another year in fall of 62. I left and went with Jules Herman for 6 years.
Okay. So Pat was running the band then, the last?
Yes. Yeah, Pat was running the band.
Okay. And they had some pretty good bands in those years. The recordings really came off good. I've always said, as I listen to some of the early recordings of Whoopi John, when you listen to them for a while, they grow on you because at first you think it's squeaky and the amplification was really poor. But then when you get past that part and you listen to the musicianship, it's very good. They just didn't have the equipment and technology back in the early years.
That's right.
You bet.
There were always top musicians, on that band.
Uh-huh.
Along with being great guys. How many years have gone by and the four of us still talk?
Sure, yeah.
Still friends. And the guys that were on the band, years ago through the 50s, like sax section was Roy Boyle, who you asked about.
Yeah.
Jimmy Leverett played lead. I've worked with Jimmy and other bands later on.
Uh-huh.
And Curly Carroll's was a very close friend of mine. He played third alto. And,
okay.
It pains me to think about all these great musicians and great guys. Well, they're gone now.
Exactly.
I was always the kid on the band, I guess, and now I'm paying the price. I'm
uh-huh.
the last one standing.
Yep. So, that was full-time work back then, huh? You were hired as, you didn't have a day job or anything. You were traveling in between.
Oh, no. We traveled. Go out. We were playing 6 nights a week, sometimes 14 nights a week.
Oh, my goodness.
It was all traveling. We covered 7 states.
Sure.
I was living out of a suitcase. It was full-time employment. Even when I went with Jules Herman, that was full-time employment.
Okay.
Even though we were the house band at the prom, we still did some traveling, and there weren't enough hours in the day to have a day gig.
I heard you mention that you started out, when you came back out of the service, you started playing with the Jolly Lumberjacks, one of the bands you started working with a little bit?
That one night.
Oh, okay.
In fact, a short side note. He called me to fill in, and so I went and I played the job. When he dropped me off back in my car, and I said, "Well," he says, "Well, you got the job," and I said, "Well, I wanted to play for a living,
Yeah.
And I don't think you have enough work. And he said, well, he repeats again, you got the job. He said, are you going to live in Redwood Falls or Arlington? And I said, no, Clem, I said, you know, I'm not, you know, I want to play for a living. I want full-time employment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, you can pay me now for the job. Oh, you were just trying out for the band. You got in the car and off you went. Never did get paid.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, and that was Clem, huh? Clem Brawl?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just passed away recently here, I see, huh?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. And they were such a good band over the years. I mean, maybe
he was,
a bad experience.
Very talented musician.
Yeah.
He ran two libraries.
Yep.
He ran a polka library, and for lack of better terminology, or the terminology from those years, a new time.
Yeah. You know. Modern library. And you know, maybe a bad experience for you, but boy, when they'd come up in our area, we always made it a point to go out and dance to the Lumberjacks. Such a snappy, up-tempo beat. Really enjoyed their music, and sad to see them go away.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of bands at that time, you know, that
came
and went.
Was there any other bands at that same time that you were playing full-time with Whoopi? Was there anybody else offering full-time employment?
Well, the Dutchman.
Six Fat Dutchman, okay.
Yeah, Six Fat. We crossed paths quite a bit. I mean, where they would be.
Sure.
Where, you know, in the ballroom that we played the night before, or vice versa.
Yeah. Okay.
And Babe Wagner Band.
Oh, yeah. They were full-time too, huh?
Burkhart came from.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, that first band that I was in, Myron Wolf was the other.
Oh, yeah,
player, and I would talk to Myron once in a while on the phone, but Tommy Recca called to see if I wanted to go down and home for the when they resurrected the Babe Wagner Library.
Yeah.
They had, and so I went down with Tom.
Okay.
And Myron, I hadn't seen him in 67 years.
Okay.
I got a picture of the two of us hanging up here right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and Myron, for folks that recognize his name, Cleveland, Minnesota, did a recording in 2013 with myself and Dr. Lester Schuft and the Country Dutchman. And, great reed man. And I understand he's having some vision problems these days.
Yeah, he is, unfortunately. And then he fell also.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah. He's struggling with that. In fact, I talked to him last week to see how he was doing, and it's a slow mend. Hopefully, he'll be back. Yeah.
What was it like playing for and working with Whoopi John? I know you didn't have a lot of time or a lot of experience with him, but you guys are full time on the road, probably playing 4-hour jobs in the evening or something.
That's right.
Did he socialize with the band members much throughout the day, or was he all business?
Well, when John was not in the greatest health, I was probably one of the last guys that he himself hired.
Okay.
He went on the jobs here locally, but he did not travel on the road with them at that time.
Sure.
But he would, like, for instance, he'd want to hear the band, and Edna was the business manager and took care of the strong box and carried the money and everything.
Sure.
Most of these ballrooms would have a payphone in the lobby, so he would have Edna call him. You know, long distance was pretty expensive at that time, and he'd listen to the band for an hour.
On the phone?
Long distance.
Over the phone?
Pardon?
Over the phone?
Yeah, over the phone.
Oh, my. And can you imagine? I'm sure the quality was not that good then, huh? But he could...
he wanted to hear his band.
He did.
No, John was probably one of the best employers musically, you know, that I worked for. I mean, if you were in his band, you were one of his boys.
Uh-huh.
He took care of you.
He did.
You know,
yeah.
He just, you know, he didn't shortchange you. You know, he took care of his voice in the band. You know?
That's really awesome. That's neat.
Yeah.
You bet. How old was Whoopi when he passed away?
Well, you had asked me that the very first time, and I wasn't ready for you. And where are my notes here? Okay. He died at age 68.
At age 68. Boy.
June of 61, he passed away.
June of 1961.
Yeah,
okay.
I do remember the night that he passed away. We had just left the cities. We were playing a ballroom down southwestern Minnesota when Pat got the call, you know, that that John had died. And so we turned on, came back. We picked up Adeline, Whoopi's daughter, and came back to town. And then they hired somebody to drive the bus who was an off-duty policeman. That's another story.
Yeah, yeah.
to drive the bus. So we went back out into the Dakotas and Nebraska, I think it was, and then we came back in for the funeral.
Okay.
Because we were the pallbearers, the band of the pallbearers.
Sure.
Here. He was buried in New Ulm. And some of the, my dad had played with John when he was in New Ulm.
Oh.
In fact, it was my dad and the Huffmeister boys from Springfield. This was in the late 20s. And they were the ones that convinced John that if he was going to go anywhere in this business, he had to have a library, had to have music.
Okay.
And so they had another set of pallbearers out in New Ulm. And we got back on the bus, and off we went.
Oh, my goodness.
The other story of this bus driver that they had hired, Dennis, Whoopi John's son Dennis, did all the driving.
Yeah.
And he was a very careful driver, you know, and and law-abiding. Well, this guy that was driving the bus was somewhat of a jockey.
Uh-huh.
And we're going through La Crosse, Wisconsin, and got pulled over. I mean, after years of seeing this yellow bus creep along, all of a sudden, here it is flying through. And so he gets out of the and runs up to the squad car or whatever the policeman had pulled us over. I don't know what all happened, but he got back on, and I guess there was professional courtesy exchanged or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. How big a band was the band at that time, and was it the same as it always was, or did they have a bigger band some years and smaller through the later years, or how?
All the while I was on it, it was three saxes, two trumpets, trombone, accordion, bass, and drums. So it was a full complement.
Okay. And was Edna also the keyboard or a piano player?
She didn't play it.
Okay, she didn't.
A lot of the dances they would sponsor and put on themselves.
Oh, okay.
On the road, and she did. She was the business manager. And handled the money. She carried a strong box every night into the hotel. I often wondered how much money they had.
Oh, yeah, some great memories there. Favorite songs to play with the Whoopi John Band?
I loved the book. I mean, musically, for just, it was trying. They weren't, you know, they were hard arrangements. And they were challenges. And I loved the whole book. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really pick out, you know, anyone. I didn't care for Shottages.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Or Mazurkas.
Okay.
But the rest, you know.
Yep.
And in fact, I can still picture, you know, what that manuscript looked like, you know, my part. Like if you'd say the jet polka, well, in my head, I can still see that written part out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was previewing some of the music this morning. How about the clarinet polka? Did you get to do that one with Whoopi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a big one. Yeah.
Okay. Did you record it all with Whoopi John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had Lent was the recording time. We did one LP a year.
Yep.
They had a contract with Decca Records. The a lot of people don't realize the pulling power and the value of that band as far as national sales for the band. Number one was Bing Crosby. Number two was the Andrews Sisters. And number three was Hopi John.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
The band used to go into Chicago to do the recording, but then in later years, studios, you know, quality studios came to play here. And so the deck engineers would fly out from New York and the K-Bank.
Oh, yeah.
On Nicolette Avenue studio.
Yeah.
And that's where we would record. It was a two-day session.
Okay.
Red McLeod would do the arranging. And here we're playing, you know, on the road 6 nights a week. We normally had Monday nights off.
Okay.
So he would come in and give us the arrangements that we were going to record instead of woodshedding that stuff out on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and a lot of, there wasn't much dubbing done at that time.
Sure, yeah, you played it straight through.
It didn't go well, you did it again.
Yep, I remember those days, yep, for sure. Well,
yeah.
Bob, our time is running short here. We want to save a little bit of time to play some music, but you know how it goes. I usually ask you at this point of the show if you got a special memory, and I don't remember what you've told us on the previous shows, but do you have a memory that you'd want to share with the listeners at this time this morning?
Yeah, I can do that.
Sure.
A scary one.
Okay.
As I said, Denny was the bus driver, mm-hmm. very cautious and everything. And I don't know what happened. We made some jumps like Omaha on a Saturday night and Milwaukee on a Sunday night, all two-lane roads, no freeways.
Wow, yeah.
And Denny apparently got sick, and we were all sleeping. I felt, you know, the bus pull over, and Denny and Pat exchanged a few words, and Denny went to the back then, and so Pat gets behind the wheel.
Okay.
And the next thing I hear is tires and air brakes and screeching and everything else, and so we all pop up and look out, and here's a semi jackknifed in front of the bus.
Oh.
Two guys get out of the semi with tire irons heading for the bus.
Oh, my gosh.
So we all popped up, turned our lights on, I think, and they saw 10 guys, 11 guys sitting there. They changed their minds. And unfortunately, Pat must not have checked the mirrors and pulled out in front of the semi.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Wow. And back in those days, I mean, did they even have a Class A license or anything to drive the bus?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my CDL license now.
Yeah. But back in those days.
At that time, I don't know.
Things were a little more crude. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great, great story there. My goodness. And you lived through it. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we did.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you, we'd sure love to go on. We'd really need a couple hours to do this show with you because it's just fantastic listening to you. And you know, it's like turning the clock back just another century back in time. It's just hard to fathom what things were like back then. I mean, the big dance halls that you guys must have played in and everything, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a ballroom that was in the Midwest that I even played in.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was quite an experience and good times.
You bet.
Great times.
You bet.
Well, it's been an honor to be back on with you, Si.
Well,
thank
yes.
you so much.
So special. And we wish, mention your wife's name.
Fran.
Okay.
Yeah.
We wish you and Fran very well. Stay safe and stay healthy. And like I've told you in the past, the good Lord willing, we'll do this thing again sometime. I won't wait as long this time because we want to hear more from you. So, well, we wish you a very good day today. And again, thanks for being with us, Bob.
Well, thank you, Si.
All right. With that, we're going to let you run. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
Okay.
Bob Schrepfer there. Out of Apple Valley. Was it Apple Valley or Golden Valley? I believe Apple Valley. Okay, our 498th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got some music coming up by Whoopi John in just moments. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme right there, wrapping up Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 498th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Bob Schrepfer, yes, a wonderful guest there, and goes back to the days, early 60s there with the Whoopi John Band. Just a wealth of knowledge about the band, and I could sit here for hours listening to that. Just great stuff. But we want to save time for music by Whoopi John. Going to start things out with a nice old-time polka, one called the Minnesota Polka. Whoopi John there with Minnesota Polka. Great music there by the great Whoopi John. 27 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 59 degrees here in central Minnesota. Another song we talked about in the interview with Bob Schrepfer, one called the Clarinet Polka. Whoopi John and his orchestra with the clarinet polka. Coming up on 12:30 here on KASM, 59 degrees here in central Minnesota. Bob mentioned that he didn't care for the schottisches that much, but Whoopi played a lot of them. And here's one called the Norwegian schottisch. Whoopi John and the orchestra, nice schottisch there, one called the Norwegian schottisch. Old time waltz time now with Whoopi John, it's one called the St. Paul Waltz. Whoopi John and his orchestra, classic recording there, the St. Paul Waltz. 26 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock, 59, our current temperature, our musical treat for Dancing Feet, brought to us today, as always, by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. Jeannie texting me information today and says, today will really give everyone spring fever. Maybe it's time to call Jeannie B's Tours to find out what adventures she has planned for you. Daycation tours depart your area between 7:30 and 8 a.m. and usually return between 5 and 6. These tours include matinee luncheon shows at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, Jasper's Theater in Park Rapids, and more venues. Mystery days are always fun-filled times away from home. New to Jeannie B's Tours are the Slot Select Tours to Jackpot Junction Casino the first Monday of each month. Pickups will be in St. Joe Rideshare Park and, the St. Joe Park and Ride, Avon City Office Lot, Jill's Cafe, Richmond, and the Painesville Green Roof Senior Center parking lot. Call Jeannie B's at 320-345-1581 for details. Reserve your seats for Monday, April 1st. The bus is filling fast. Jeannie B's Mystery Days are always entertaining, not knowing where your next stop might be. Jeannie wants you to know that casinos are never part of the day's itinerary for mystery tours. Summer and fall boat cruises are scheduled for Gull Lake, Stillwater, and Taylor Falls and are always a unique experience. Minications are 1 to 4 day outings. Visit destinations like Medora, North Dakota, Northern Minnesota, and the hidden gems of Wisconsin. Extended Jeannie B's tours include Door County, Wisconsin, Branson, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, Deadwood, South Dakota, Mississippi River Cruise, Canada and Rockies, Glacier, Banff, and Lake Louise, Alaska Cruise Tour, and the Alaska Call of the Wild, land only. Also, the colors and of New England rails and trails, exciting European tours are Treasures of Ireland, Danube River Cruise to Austria and Germany, and highlights of Scandinavia, including Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. Mark your calendars for April 9th to attend the Travel Information Meet and Greet at Shady Silver Spur in St. Martin, Minnesota. See a full presentation of the Jeannie B's Tours Extended Tours and also obtain information for all other tours. Sessions are from 2 to 4 and 5 to 7 with an included pizza supper served between the sessions. Gather your friends and family, yes, your traveling friends and family, and join Jeannie B's Tours on April 9th. RSVPs are requested for this meet and greet for the included meal count. As always, call Jeannie B's Tours for more information. I rattled this stuff up pretty quick. So call Jeannie B's Tours, 320-345-1581. As Jeannie always says, and I quote, remember, seeing is believing. Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota, bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Time for just a couple more selections. Whoopi John did a great recording of the Peanuts Polka. Here it is. Whoopi John with the Peanuts Polka. Coming up on 20 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, 59 degrees and overcast skies now here in central Minnesota. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet. We're going to do that with Whoopi John's theme song, a great waltz tune, one called the Mohican Waltz. Whoopi John and his orchestra, his theme song there, the Mohican Waltz, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet here on KASM. As we come up on 17 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, temperature reading is at 59 degrees here in central Minnesota.